Daisy.
And I'm Terry.
And this is the Monday Mindset Podcast,
where we talk about things of interest to us and hopefully to you.
So let's get started with episode number 21.
In this week's episode, Daisy's going to share something with us of interest to her. Daisy, what do you have?
Well, Terry, I have another episode from Brené Brown's podcast, Unlocking Us. Yeah, I was waiting for that expression.
You know, here's what I thought of yesterday. I'm like, I should listen to that thing again because I only listened to it like half paying attention last time. And you know Daisy's going to do it. And you're not going to remember what you wanted to say about it. And you're going to feel off guard again. Go ahead. Carry on.
Every time I bring up Brené Brown, I thought, yeah, Terry's going to roll her eyes. It's going to be another heavy one. But actually, it's not too heavy. So I can assure you of that from the start. A little bit, but not too much. This is an episode with a woman called Sonia Renee Taylor called The Body Is Not an Apology. And that's named after both her book called The Body Is Not an Apology, The Power of Radical Self-Love. But she is also the founder of The Body Is Not an Apology, which is a digital media and education company. She's an award-winning performance poet, an activist, and a transformational leader, an author, and educator. She also does mental health work in prisons, homeless shelters, and universities. And this was, if you've listened to Brené Brown, she said the same thing with Austin Channing Brown's book, that when she reads a book that stirs her up, she ends up throwing it across the room. And she sort of kicked off by saying, I didn't like the title. I didn't like the cover. She said something like she read the foreword and then had to put it down for a week before she could carry on reading it. But she had to read it because she was going to be doing this interview. But kind of, you know, said in a good way. I think she just found it really challenging, but knew it was going to be something that she was going to struggle with as she read it. And they started off with the way they met, basically, which was quite funny. She found a quote online that she'd been accredited for. And I think it was her assistant came to her and said, there's this fantastic quote. And it is a good quote. I'll read it to you. We will not go back to normal. Normal never was. Our pre-corona existence was never normal, other than we normalized greed, inequity, exhaustion, depletion, extraction, disconnection, confusion, rage, hoarding, hate, and lack. We should not long to return, my friends. We are being given the opportunity to stitch a new garment, one that fits all of humanity and nature. Brené was like, wow, that's great. I didn't write it. And this is one of the things I really love about Brené Brown. She owns things that she's done wrong. This wasn't something that she'd done wrong, or that, you know, thoughts she might have had that she thinks are wrong in some way, or whatever it is. She always owns it and she does something about it. So they launched a campaign of trying to find everywhere that this quote had appeared, attributed to her. And I think so far when they recorded, they'd corrected something like 10,000 tweets.
Jeez.
You know, they'd launched this campaign to go out and find everywhere it had appeared to correct it. And so they were having this conversation about it. And Sonia was really chilled about it, actually. And she said, look, the way I thought about it was, what's more important? Is it more important that that quote is out there helping people, inspiring people? Or is it more important that I get credit for it? And she said, for me, it was just important that it was out there. And Brené was like, oh, no, 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 no. I'm nowhere near as charitable as that. She said, if it was my quote and somebody else had taken credit for it, especially if it was a white male, and this reminded me of the way you talked to Koa, she'd be like, no, sir, that's my quote. So that's what I mean about, I really like the way she owns things about herself. That was kind of how they were introduced, really. And just to just as an introduction to say where this title came from, The Body Is Not an Apology, Sonia talks about a conversation she had with someone she works with, a disabled woman who was pregnant, and I think didn't necessarily want to have got pregnant. And so Sonia was asking her, well, did you not use birth control? You know, what went on there? And she said that she hadn't wanted to ask for the guy to use a condom because she didn't want to add another disadvantage, as she saw it, to her disability. She was disabled. And this horrified Sonia, basically, and kept playing in her mind. And the phrase that came to her was, the body is not an apology. Your body should never be an apology. She goes on to talk about her other phrase, radical self-love, which is never apologizing for your own body, never operating from a place of shame. Every time you put yourself down, and she found herself doing it, she found herself thinking this phrase through her head, every time she thought about some aspect of her body in a negative way, she would say, no, my body is not an apology. And I know you've listened to this, and this was a quote that you particularly liked. And they bring it up. It's a quote from Mary Ann Williamson. An acorn does not have to say, I intend to become an oak tree. Natural intelligence intends that every living thing become the highest form of itself and designs us accordingly. And she goes on just talking about this, sort of building on this quote, that we need to get rid of things that are getting in our way, to tap into our natural greatness, removing obstructions that have us believe we need to try to become. Whereas if we just let things happen, we will just become what we were born to be. And the world is just full of obstructions that have been put in our way and in the way of our enoughness. And we need to work with other human beings to move these things out the way. She talks about two things that come together. And this is something we were talking about when we chatted about this episode a little bit before, about getting a little bit confused. They keep referring to a ladder. And we'd both been a little bit confused by what they meant by this. But when I listened to it again to make notes for this episode, it became a little clearer. So these two things that come together, this radical self-love, which she defines as your internal journey that impacts the external reality. We don't live in a system of individualism. We're interdependent, and our experience impact one another. She talks about how you can be impacted by something somebody said, and that's their external reality coming from something that's going on inside. And so she goes on to talk about the real importance of working with other people and the impact you can have on others, they can have on you. And then the other part of this two-part is the systemic and structural level. She says, we've built a world that is a reflection of our belief that we're not enough. We've built a system that externalizes our values. So we think, I will be good enough when I achieve dot, 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 or when I am dot, dot, dot. And some of us, of course, will never get there. And we spend our lives trying to figure out what we can do. And she talks about climbing up the ladder, and this is where the ladder comes in, of body hierarchy. And that this ladder, this system that we live in, is only real because we try to climb it. And her whole concept of radical self-love asks us to divest from it, to stop trying to climb it so we have no more use for it. When we don't need it to assess our worth, this is radical self-love. She says, we are born with everything we need in order to be all it is we're destined to be. The ladder is the system. And all the things we figured out how to get to try and get to the top of this ladder keeps you on that ladder. And she uses an example. She said, if everyone decides to stop using it, it basically falls apart. And so using NBA as an example, with deciding to stop playing because of racial issues, if they all decide to stop playing, the system collapses. They can choose not to participate. And especially with COVID, there's no way that that system can be maintained. The system will collapse. The ladder will collapse. And she said, it's very simple, but it's not easy. Another example they gave, if every woman was to wake up tomorrow morning when they looked in the mirror to say, I love what I see. I'm not buying any more beauty products. The beauty industry would collapse. That system would collapse. That ladder would collapse. So we do actually kind of have this power. It talks a little bit about self-acceptance and how she doesn't like the phrase. She wants us to go beyond that. She doesn't want to just accept. She says people use it as a synonym for acquiescence. Do you want to be accepted or do you want to be loved? Accepted is an inert word. It's a passive term, whereas love is an active term. You can change with love. It creates its own momentum. And we need love that disrupts and destroys this ladder. The world, rather, in general, is structured on hate of ourselves, but also of others. And we need something more powerful and magnanimous to shift things in the right direction. They go on to talk about some really interesting things about this ladder, about this hierarchy system. Don't have time to talk about it today, but basically saying some bodies are better than other bodies. This is our belief system. The default body is the white male. So, you know, I leave the rest to your imagination, but I really recommend listening to it. There's some interesting stuff. But at the end of it, they make a very good point that human body diversity is a form of natural intelligence. This natural intelligence, if you go back to the Mary Ann Williamson quote about the acorn, it's supposed to be that way. And then they bring in an example that we believe it for every other aspect of nature. Think about it. Trees, dogs, plants, you name it. We embrace variety and expect nuance. But when it comes to human bodies, we discriminate with hierarchy. It's necessary to have variance to live in a thriving ecosystem. And in fact, we demand it. We demand variety. So why don't we demand it and respect it and honor it when it comes to ourselves, when it comes to humans? And when you think about it like that, you know,
it's powerful.
It really brings it home. And then they come back to this whole notion of shame. Shame is the source of how the ladder got built. The ladder of systemic oppression is built on our self-hate and self-loathing and shame. We are that system, but we can dismantle it with radical self-love for ourselves and for others. But first, we have to dismantle that ladder inside of ourselves. So how do you do that? She talks about the three pieces, and that's pieces as in peace, love and harmony, P-E-A-C-E. And this is the foundation of how to begin your radical self-love journey. First of all, you have to make peace with difference. So that's basically you stop comparing yourself to others. Make peace with not understanding. Make peace with your own body. As long as my value is dependent on someone else's greater or lesser value, she says, then it demands a world where there are people less valuable than me. So every time you're comparing, you're putting yourself in that ladder because someone's got to be above you and someone's got to be below you. And so you're reinforcing that system that we need to get rid of. So once you've made these three pieces, you go on to the four pillars of practice. The first one she calls taking out the toxic. We're surrounded by messages all the time that reinforce this ladder. And we're mostly actually oblivious to it. It's subliminal. You know, think of adverts and just all the general haze of stuff that surrounds you all the time that you don't really notice. So the first thing you need to do is to raise it to consciousness. Raise those messages that you're getting up to your consciousness so that you can recognize them for what they are. Once they're in your conscious awareness, you can then decide how much you take in, at least to a degree. So she's talking about things like cleaning up your social media, or maybe, you know, you stop watching the news. That was the example that Brené gave. In fact, her therapist gave her an ultimatum. She said she wasn't going to carry on doing her weekly therapy unless she stopped watching the news, because she said, we do not have time in our session to undo the toxic load of the 20 hours of news you're watching every week. So, you know, that can be something that really negatively impacts. And I basically stopped watching the news years ago. Whatever it is, cut it out, either by degrees, either in small chunks, and then notice what removing that does to your body. And then you think, what would you like to be doing with this space provided? So you make an inventory, how much toxic stuff you're taking in, then create a space where you block it from constantly coming in. And then you can think about what you'd like to fill it with. So basically, you're seeing where the system is getting you to reinvest in it and support it. The next pillar is mind matters. What do we want to do to replace the toxic? First of all, you need to get in touch with the way you've been thinking. What's going on in your head? What things can I do to shift perspective? We've talked about this before, the stories you tell yourself. And instead, find things that are nurturing, nourishing, fulfilling. Avoid things that make you feel angry, ashamed, blaming. So you can see where potentially limiting something like social media access is going to come in here. Third pillar, unapologetic action. Now you can do something. Now you've got the space to do something. What can I do today, she says, that is revolutionary? So one thing, you can start retelling the stories you've been telling yourself for years and find ways basically to find pleasure, things that you would like to do. What makes you light up? What makes you come alive? What makes you activate, take action? Do it inside yourself, for yourself, and then you're going to be in a much better position to radiate that out and help heal the world. Fourth pillar, collective compassion. This is where other people come in. We need each other, she says. Instead of trying to one-up each other, seek harmony, seek connection, seek community, and stop being the host of the disease to stop the spread. It felt like a real link in with COVID there. Keep yourself healthy and stop spreading it. Stop supporting the system. Stop supporting the virus, basically. And also, when you spend time with people, you get your true self reflected back to you, how people see you. The system is designed to gaslight you, is to keep you in your position on that ladder. To reinforce, yeah, you do need to lose more weight. You're not pretty enough. You're not good enough. You're not clever enough. Yeah, it's designed to keep you in place. But she says it's community that can disrupt that. And we really need to club together to make the world a better place. There you go. That's it.
Well, Daisy, one of the things I was thinking as you were sharing is maybe to give listeners some background that you and I usually don't talk about what we're going to use as our episodes. And last week when we were ready to record, we both weren't feeling up to it. And so we talked a little bit about what we would have recorded had we done it. And we had both listened to this episode and
we were both going to use it. It was going to be the first time that happened.
Right. So that would have been a big surprise. So, one, this is maybe the first time that we've both listened to an episode within close proximity and time that we are familiar with it. And as I shared with you, I listened to this and I was so interested in it, but didn't listen carefully enough. I knew I was going to have to go back and listen again. And I think I still will, because it was one of those episodes where there were probably 50 great messages that if I walked away with just that one, it would be worthwhile. So thank you for explaining more about the ladder, because that was the concept that I didn't pick up on enough the first time I listened to it.
Yeah, and it was the biggest thread, wasn't it, that ran throughout. Mm-hmm. They kept referring back to the ladder. So you needed to kind of try and get to grips with it a bit.
Which made it a difficult episode for me, only partially paying close attention. So The other thing that I'd shared with you that I want to reiterate here, I love the analogy that they talk about from Marianne Williamson about the acorn. I didn't know that's where it came from. But I used to listen to a guy named Derek Rydell, and he uses that as a framework in one of his books called Emergence. He talks about the idea that he was really involved in the self-help movement. And he realized one day when he was getting up to speak and tell people how they should improve themselves, that he was continuing this, and it fits with what you're describing, this message that something's wrong with us. We need to improve. We need to get better. We need to be more. We need to be something different. And he realized that he couldn't support that anymore. And so he started talking about this analogy that an acorn is going to become an oak tree. There's no question of what it will become. And all that it needs is within it at the time that it's created. And what it needs to become that oak tree are environmental factors. And so when I listened to this episode, that was the image that really stuck with me about this ladder, that we are all we need to be. We already are. What we need is the environment and the opportunities to become and be that which we already are. We have all that we need. We can continue to grow and develop, but we don't have to become something different. And I think that was a really powerful thing that I took from this episode, is we've been taught by this ladder, if I'm thinking of it correctly now, that we do need to become something more, that there are bodies that are ahead of us on the ladder that we need to strive toward, and there are bodies behind us on this ladder that we have surpassed, and that really what we need to do is dismantle this ladder and be.
Yeah, and get rid of this notion that it's important, that there's any importance about where you are on the rungs on the ladder, mm-hmm. that effectively, if you want to get to the top, you're going to have to climb over other people to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, as you were saying, it's this striving all the time to think that you've got to be something other than who you are, rather than, and she's not talking about not striving for things, not mm-hmm. working hard, not having goals, none of those things, but to let your innate abilities flourish, let them come out, trust that you have the capabilities to be all you can be, and that is enough. That is what you were designed for. That is what you were designed to be. You are that acorn. You're an acorn.
You will be an oak tree.
You will be an oak tree. You know, you're not a chestnut. You're not something else. But everything is there inside. You have it. Stop thinking that you haven't, that you need something else.
And I think the other big message, even in the opening example you talked about with the woman who, you know, had an unplanned pregnancy, because she felt like she couldn't be her true full self and advocate for all of her needs and wants and desires in order to achieve some. And I think that's an important factor in this. And then another thought I had as you were talking about the steps, it made me just, from a personal perspective, to really focus in again on my use of social media and how I let that affect me, how I think for many of us, it's a system of comparison. We watch how other people are doing with whatever it is that they're doing, how happy they are with their kids or their spouses or their body or their vacations or whatnot, and how I can use that at times as that measuring stick of my own accomplishments or my own positive path or not. It reminded me of why I've been doing some of what I've done over the past few months. For example, I stopped following certain friends on Facebook. These are important people to me and people I care about, but I can't keep hearing the messages because it keeps me stuck in a negative way of processing information. Like you were talking about the news, I stopped watching the news many years ago, but I get a lot of information about the news based on what other people are posting. And I really need to, I have been looking at that, but I in listening to, I realized I want to look at that even more carefully. Mm. I want to be more careful about what information I let in.
Yeah, you're right. And I think it's an interesting perspective to look at it as well as by not filtering those things out, you're playing into the system, you're playing into this ladder concept, and you're supporting it. So actually by removing yourself from that, you're helping in a small way to start breaking it down a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I love what they said about how we demand variety in almost everything else. Yet we have this imposed hierarchy when it comes to people.
Mm-hmm. Well, Daisy, I think both of us highlighted in this talk so far today that this is definitely an original episode worth going back and listening to if people have the time. Two amazing women to listen to. And I think we both have acknowledged so many things that can be pulled from that episode. You and I could do 10 more episodes of this podcast based on that episode, but very worth reading. So I really appreciate you sharing it. And I hope that people take this as motivation to listen or to change some of their own approach in letting themselves acknowledge their own being versus where they are on that ladder.
Definitely. And never let your body be an apology.
Absolutely.
Have a great week, Terry, and everyone else.
You too, Daisy, and everyone else.